Let me say good morning to you, church. You go ahead and be seated. And it's my privilege this morning to introduce to you Dr. Matt Queen, who's with us. Now, he was with us last Sunday evening. Many of you were blessed, and if you were here for that event, well, you know you're in for something good this morning as we hear from God's Word. Dr. Queen is a professor of evangelism at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is the chair of evangelism at the seminary. In fact, they call it the chair of fire, and he said that's because he's in the hot seat
that's all the time.
All right, but here's the thing. Connecting with our GC23 emphasis this year and having gospel conversations, we want you to hear from Dr. Queen encouragement, really from God's Word,
yes,
through Dr. Queen, about just more skills that we need to be able to have effective gospel conversations. Yes. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so I know that you're going to be blessed this morning. Here's what I can tell you about Matt Queen. I don't know a whole lot about him. I don't know him real well. But I know he loves Jesus. I know he loves the gospel.
Amen.
And I know he loves equipping the saints,
amen,
to be able to tell others about Jesus and the gospel. So, Brother, amen, Queen, you come. Preach for us this morning.
Thank
Looking
you,
forward
Pastor
to
Jason.
It.
Thank you, Pastor Jason. Thank you, First Baptist, for that warm welcome. I do want to bring you greetings from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, your seminary, just over in Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. David Dockery, our president, our faculty, thank you for all you do to give sacrificially so that we can do our task in training and building up young men and women for the sake of the ministries to which God has called them. I hope you've got a copy of the Bible, or maybe you've got a phone or a tablet, and would you just take it and open it up or turn into it to Acts chapter 18 today. Acts chapter 18. I know you've been going through a series in Acts. I'm kind of skipping ahead because I think y'all going to probably be doing this text in the fall. So I've gotten permission to be able to go ahead and preach this one now because this is what the Lord's laid on my heart. But Acts chapter 18, this morning we want to look at verses 1 through 11. And I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled Conquering the Corinthian Cringes. Conquering the Corinthian cringes. Now, that might sound strange. Cringe, what does that mean? Cringe is usually something we do whenever we see something or we know we got to do something and we kind of shirk back and we just know if we can't do it, or sometimes we tremble at it. Well, I want you to know that when it comes to having gospel conversations, even for the chair of evangelism at Southwestern Seminary, evangelism can be cringeworthy. It can be fearful sometimes. It can be scary sometimes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It can be scary. And so what I want to do is I want to look at a time in which the greatest missionary evangelist in the history of the world, the Apostle Paul, when he got afraid of going on and speaking about Jesus, having conversations about Jesus, and it got so bad and so fearful, and he was cringing so much that the Lord Jesus himself had to come at night in a vision to tell him, you don't have to be afraid. And there's a promise that Jesus gave to Paul that he gives to each and every one of us, and me included here today, to help us overcome a case of what I've entitled the Corinthian cringes. And as you're finding your text there, I'm just going to take a time in my life when I got afraid when it came to evangelism. Now, let me just say this. This true life example from my life only happened one time. So don't think that all gospel conversation is going to be like what I'm getting ready to talk about, okay? This was kind of a one-offer. But I remember one time I was going and I was sharing the gospel with a student. We were going in the neighborhood. We came across, and maybe in your own mind's eye, you can just imagine with me, a pickup truck in a driveway, two men on either side of the bed, two men sitting in the bed of the truck. And there they are, and they just got off work, and they're conversing. And I came up, and I said, hey, my name is Matt, and this is Samuel. We're from that school just right over a block away, and we've come today to tell you about God's great love for you. And no sooner than I said, God's great love for you, every single one of all four of those men started laughing at me. Now, if you want to talk about being cringing and being fearful and wondering how am I going to come back from that, that was me. I didn't know what to do. And so the Lord gave me kind of the confidence to say, hey, reassert yourself in the conversation. So I sized them all up. I was going to talk to the biggest one of them. If God's going to be with me, I was going to talk to the biggest one of them. So I looked at him. He was kind of puny. I looked at this one. He was all right. This one over here, he looked big, but that the guy right in front of me, he was the biggest guy. And so I looked at him and I kind of took my finger and I said, sir, is that really funny? And all of a sudden, no sooner than I said that, I looked down and his lap was sitting a gun. It was getting ready to be funny, right? And it was getting ready to be very fearful. And so I thought, man, what will I do? And I thought, man, can I meet force with force? He has one gun. And then all of a sudden it came to me. I had two guns. So I thought, I felt pretty good. And then I realized neither one of them were loaded. So that didn't help me out too much. So I said, okay, what am I going to do? And I just feigned ignorance. I feigned fear. And I just looked at him. I said, sir, look, I see the gun in your lap. You're not going to shoot me that thing, are you? And he picked it up. And man, I stepped back and I put my hands up, you know. And he's like, man, this is a BB gun. I said, well, BB that thing behind you. I want to tell you about Jesus. And so he put it behind him and we had a great gospel conversation. And look, I came here with no holes, no bullet holes or anything else in me. I made it through. God was with me. Now, here's why I tell you that. Having gospel conversations in the regular rhythms of our life can be intimidating. It can be cause us fear. But I want you to know that that is a natural response even for a professor of evangelism. But just because we have that fear does not mean that we can't overcome that fear with God's help. And that's very clear in our text today. And so as you've got your copy of God's Word, would you just follow along with me? Acts chapter 18, I'll start in verse 1 and go through verse 11. Here's what the Bible says. After this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy, that's Rome by the way, with his wife Priscilla. Why? Because Claudius, who was the emperor, Claudius had commanded that all the Jews leave Rome. And so he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And he worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and he said, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. And he left there and he went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, a Gentile worshiper of God. And his house was right next door to that synagogue that he had just left. And the Bible says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And then we see this. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision. What does he say? Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack to harm you, for I have many in the city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. This is God's word for us this morning, First Baptist. As we look in this text, the Bible says, Luke is telling us, who's writing this, he says, after this, after what? Well, after a series of journeys that he had. And you'll see up here on the screen, I want you to look at the kind of the source. What was it that gave Paul a case of the cringes? How do we know he had a case of the cringes? Well, Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17. You're getting ready to go into that in your series. And what you're going to notice is when Paul goes somewhere to preach, some people get saved, but some bad things happen to him. For example, in Acts chapter 13, when he's there and he's preaching in Antioch and Pisidia, the Bible tells us, Luke tells us, that he is actually expelled from the city, never to come back again. Acts 14, when he goes to Lystra and Derbe, he's there and there's violent attempts against his life, so much so that in Lystra, he's actually stoned. They think to death and they drag his body out to the city gate. In Acts chapter 16, he's put in prison for casting out a demon-possessed girl and setting her free from her slavery, from human trafficking. And he's put in prison for that. Acts 17, he goes to Athens. He's among a bunch of philosopher types. And though some people believe, the vast majority said, this is crazy, and they mocked and made fun of him. It's no wonder that whenever Paul is writing in correspondence with the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, look at what he writes here on the screen. He says, when I came to you and I was with you in weakness and in what, church? Fear and in what? Much trembling. He had a case of the cringes. When he came to them, he was fearful. And you know what? Had you had gospel conversations and been put in prison, had stones thrown at you, kicked out of cities and the like, you would be afraid too. But you know what? For us, it doesn't even take those things that make us afraid today. Listen, as a professor of evangelism, I get afraid sometimes in having gospel conversations. So let's look at this story and see what is the source of this fear that he has, and then what is the solution? How is he able to solve this fear that he has? So the Bible says, when he came to Corinth, he found a Jew named Aquila, who is a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy or from Rome with his wife Priscilla. Now these two people, they first meet here. Priscilla and Aquila end up becoming ministry companions of Paul after this. You'll see that. They actually help disciple a guy by the name of Apollos, who's also a ministry partner of Paul in the future. But nevertheless, here's where they meet. And the Bible says that they came, Aquila and Priscilla, came to Corinth because Claudius, who was the emperor of the day, Claudius had commanded that all the Jews leave Rome. Now that might leave you asking, why did the emperor tell the Jews to leave Rome? There's about two or three different theories that we have here. But I think the one that makes the most sense, there's a historian named Suetonius who in that time actually indicates that Claudius was kind of performing religious persecution. That these Jews, and they may have been Christian Jews, that these Jews would not bow the knee to the emperor. They would only bow their knee to a guy named Crestus, or some people think maybe that's talking about Christos, the Christ. And so the Bible says that they're kicked out, there's religious persecution, and they came to Corinth, so he went to see them. And Luke tells us when he went to see them, they started talking and found out that they could do the same things. They worked with the same kinds of ways because they were tent makers by trade. And so Paul goes to stay and live with them, and he goes to work with them. And so on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're making tents. Now you may say, what in the world is going on in Corinth that they have to have tents made? Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have ever heard of the Olympic Games? Anybody? Olympic Games? Yep. Okay, very good. You've heard of them. You may not know this, but in addition, that was probably the most famous Olympic competition back in the day. But there was another competition with athletes that was also pretty predominant, not as predominant as the Olympics, but it was called the Isthmus Games. Now, let me go back to why. If it's the Isthmus Games, it was probably held on a what? Isthmus. Okay. Now, isthmus, as you know, is generally a land bridge connecting two pieces of land. There's water on either side, right? Corinth was an isthmus. Do you know that? It was built on an isthmus. You can look in your Bible. You can look in your Bible maps. I've been to Corinth. I've seen the water on either side. In fact, now there's actually, you know, after this time, they built a canal between the isthmus so that ships can go through there. But in that day, there was not a canal. And so it's built on an isthmus. The Isthmus Games are going on. Back then, they didn't have Motel 6 to leave the light on for you. They didn't have Marriott or Hilton or Days Inn or Holiday Inn. So if people wanted to go for an extended period of time to see the athletic competitions, I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count, of what they had to stay in order to see the athletic competition. Anybody know? Tents, there we go, you got it. So they're making tents Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way up till dusk, they're making tents. But something happens, Luke tells us, something shifts in Paul at dusk on Friday till dusk on Saturday. The Bible says they're doing this, but look at this in verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. That's dusk on Friday till dusk on Saturday. He reasoned with the synagogue every Sabbath, trying to persuade both Jews and Greeks. Persuade them what? to believe in Jesus. You know, that leads me to what is many of our fears when it comes to having gospel conversations. One great fear that we have in having gospel conversations is a fear of failure. A fear of not being equipped. A fear of not knowing what to say. I don't know what to say, so I'll make a mess of it, so I'm just not going to say anything at all. I mean, that's kind of what we kind of think of sometimes. And friends, let me just tell you something. When we see here in this text, Paul is not preaching, although there were times he preached in a public manner. Paul here is not preaching sermons. He's having gospel conversations. You say, I don't see gospel conversations in the text. Well, look, Luke says, and he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue. That word reason, I'm not going to get up here and tell you the Greek word, but if I were to say it, you'd say, you know what? I don't know what that word means. It's Greek to me, right? You know, but that word sounds a lot like the word dialogue. And you'd be right, because that's exactly what Luke is getting at here. He had a dialogue, or as we call them today, conversation. He's having conversations about the gospel. And look, it doesn't say he had to memorize anything, though it's okay to memorize. What did he say? 1 Corinthians 15 said this: when I came to you, I told you with urgency, I told you with first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's what he was trying to persuade them to believe. And so, friends, when Paul says, I deliver to you with urgency what someone else told me, this is what Paul's telling us. If you're here today, sitting in this seat, in this auditorium, if you're here today and you know enough of the gospel to be saved by it, then you know enough of the gospel to share it. In other words, what someone else shared with you and you believed, that's what you need to share with someone else. Now, you may not remember the exact words that they used, but the content, that we are sinners. Jesus, God's Son, died to take the penalty for our sin, was buried, and on the third day was raised from the dead. Friends, if you know you're saved, then you know what someone else needs to know in order that they can be saved. And so that kind of takes away the fear of not knowing what to say, the fear of being a failure, because friends, let me tell you, the only failure in having gospel conversations is a failure of having gospel conversations, failing to have gospel conversations. Success in having gospel conversations, you'll be successful in having gospel conversations if you have them. There's no failure in it unless you don't have the gospel conversations. So you can begin to do that. And so he is working throughout the week. He's having gospel conversations on the weekend. Working through the week, having gospel conversations on the weekend. But then something happens in Luke's mind and thinking and writing in verse 5. Because then there's a shift. Look at what Luke says here. He says, verse 5, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia. Something happened there. Who is Silas and Timothy? Well, these are ministry missionary companions of Paul. And they come from Macedonia. Macedonia was kind of a province. It was a place. And within that province, the chief city, the capital city of that province of Macedonia in Greece was Philippi. It's the name of a city that was named after Philip the Great. And so they come from Philippi. And look at this. Whenever they arrive, something changes in Paul. Before this, he's making tents during the week, making disciples on the weekend. Look at this. When they came from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. What is it about Silas and Timothy coming to Paul in Corinth from Macedonia that shifts Paul from making tents to now starting to all the time making disciples? Well, I'll tell you. You can look. You don't have to look. Just make a note. You can find, though, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul writes about this. The Philippians sent by the hands of Silas and Timothy a gift to support him. So now he is not having to work in order to provide a living for himself. He's got a living providing for himself from the generous Philippians. And now he can go out and have all the gospel conversations he wants. Not just on the Sabbath, but on every single day of the week. And that's exactly what he does. He is occupied with the work of the gospel. That's what the word means here. Testifying to the Jews that the Christ is Jesus. That leads me, by the way, friends, to the second fear we have in gospel conversations. Some people think fear of failure. I don't know what to say. Yes, you know what to say. If you've been saved, you can share. But there's also a fear of rejection. Anybody ever afraid of getting rejected and sharing the gospel and having a gospel? I am. I'm scared to death. That's one of my biggest fears. What are they going to do if they, reject me? Look at what the Bible says. God has already provided money for Paul to have as many gospel conversations as he wants. So you think that revival is going to break out in Corinth, right? But look at what happens. When he goes and testifies to the Jews, the Bible says, and when the Jews opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments. And he said, your blood be on your own heads. I'm going to the Gentiles now. Friends, the greatest missionary evangelist in the world, the Apostle Paul, when he shared the gospel, not every single time he shared the gospel did someone come to faith in Christ. Not every single time he had a gospel conversation did someone accept it. And here, they didn't just not accept the gospel conversations. They opposed him and reviled and made fun of him for having a gospel conversation. Friend, if you think the greatest missionary evangelist in the world got rejected whenever he had gospel conversations, what makes it any different for us to have that same rejection? It's going to be natural for unbelievers to do that. In fact, not just him, but Jesus, the Son of God, perfect, never did anything wrong, right? Jesus preached. Did everybody that Jesus preached to follow him? Have y'all heard of Sadducees? Anybody heard of Sadducees? They didn't follow him. Pharisees, Judas Iscariot, rich young ruler. I mean, you need me to go on? If they rejected them, they'll reject us. In fact, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are you when they reject you, for you are like the prophets that came before you. We ought not be afraid. We ought to realize it's a blessing, because we're being faithful to having gospel conversations. And so he shakes out his garments and says, your blood be on your own head. What is that about? Well, Jesus, whenever he told his people, said he sent 70 out to preach the gospel, to have gospel conversations. And he said, look, if there's people, when you try to have a gospel conversation, that they don't want to have that with you, you're supposed to do something with your feet. Anybody know what it is? Help me out. Shake the dust off your feet, right? Actually, in Acts chapter 13, you're going to read when you go through this series, in Acts chapter 13, Paul and his companion, they had to shake the dust off of their feet. This is the only time, this time, and in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13, only time when we see garments being shaken out to kind of be an indictment against people who did not believe. In Nehemiah's day, he read the book of the law, and he said, if anyone would not follow God and what he's saying, may God shake you out of the land like I'm shaking my garments. Here, when Paul's doing it, this is a stronger indictment than what he did in Acts 13 by shaking the dust off his feet. He's shaking the dust out of his garments, indicting them. And he says, your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Now, what in the world is that about? Twice in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel 33, God comes to Ezekiel, his watchman, his prophet, and he says this, I've got a word of warning for my people, the Jews, for my people, Israel. And if you go and you share the gospel with them, you tell them the word of warning, you tell them what I tell you to tell them, and you warn them, and they don't listen to you, I'll require their blood at their own hands. But, Ezekiel, if I give you a word of warning to have a conversation with somebody and you don't tell them, I'm going to require their blood at your hand. So Ezekiel faithfully had conversations with people and told them the message that God gave. In the same way, Paul, he picks up on this language in Acts chapter 20 when he says to the Ephesian elders, I am innocent of the blood of all people because I have not hesitated to have gospel conversations, preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what he's saying here is this, and this is the lesson, this is the takeaway for us, First Baptist. If you leave here today and have a gospel conversation with someone, or tomorrow at work or at school or anytime else after this time, if you go and have a gospel conversation with somebody and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then you know who's responsible for that? God is. God gets the credit for that, right? Not us. God gets, because only God saves. But if you and I leave here today and today or tomorrow or the next day, we go and try to have a gospel conversation with someone and they reject it, you know who's responsible for that? They are. That's right. They are. Their blood's on their own heads. But let me just say this to you, dear brothers and sisters here at First Baptist Church. If in Hearst, Texas, Burleson, Texas, where I live, Fort Worth, Texas, where I work, if nobody hears the gospel in Hearst or Burleson or Fort Worth, you know who's responsible? I am. And sir, you are. Ma'am, yes, right back there, you are too. Young man over here, you are. Ma'am, you are. You are. And I am. We're all responsible if we don't do it. So we have to be in the business of having these gospel conversations. So the Bible says, he goes to the Gentiles. He goes to the house of a man named Titius Justus. And actually, when he's talking to Titius Justus, evidently Crispus is listening because he's right next door to where Titius Justus' house is. And the Bible says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, and all of his household believe in Jesus. I mean, great thing, right? But it even gets better than that. The Bible also says that many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed. What do they believe? I'm going to tell you what they believe. Paul said, I came to you, I told you what someone else told me, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Friend, if you're here today and you've never had a time in your life where you surrendered your life completely to Jesus Christ, today I encourage you to do that. We are all sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. I'm nowhere near as good as I think I am, and I'm certainly not as good as my mom thinks I am. And you're not either. We've committed crimes against God. We are not right with God. We can't fix it. We can't pay enough money. We can't do enough good. Only Jesus, God's Son, who never did anything wrong, who's fully righteous, who died to take the penalty. He absorbed God's wrath and anger against all the bad things we've done. And he died, and he was buried, and on the third day, by resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead. He sits at God's right hand, and today he calls us to turn from ourselves and our sin and put our faith in you. Today, will you believe in Jesus Christ? Second of all, not only did they hear Paul and believe, but then they were what? Baptized. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've believed in Jesus. Maybe he's changed your life. Maybe you've put your faith in him, but you've never publicly done what was done just a moment ago with this man who boldly proclaimed the gospel. When Ryan took him down in the water, that water does not wash away his sins. You know that? There's nothing special in that water. You know what he was doing? He was saying, I believe I'm right with God because Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was raised from the dead. And maybe you've never made that profession of faith today. Today, I'm going to invite you to come to speak to the pastors and say, what do I need to do to be baptized? Have you believed? Have you been baptized? Third, I want to ask you, do you belong? Now, you're always welcome here at First Baptist Church. Amen? Everybody is welcome at First Baptist Church. But do you belong? Are you a part of the membership? Look in verse 11. The Bible says this, and Paul stayed 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God, not at them, not to them, but he taught the word of God what? Among them. He taught it among them. In other words, he belonged to them and they belonged to him. Maybe you're here today and you've been searching for a church. You've been praying, dear God, where do I need to belong? Where does my church membership need to be? Today, I believe God may be calling some of you to come to speak to a pastor and say, what is the membership process? Today, I'm ready to belong. I believed, I've been baptized, but I want to belong. Last, the vast majority of us probably believed. The vast majority have been baptized. The vast majority of those of you here today have belonged to this church. But maybe you need boldness. Maybe you need to solve the Corinthian problem in your life of cringing, of fear when it comes to gospel conversations. Well, friends, let me tell you, what solves it in my life is what has solved it in your life because it solved it in the Apostle Paul's life. Look at what it says in verses 9 and 10. Luke says, and the Lord, Jesus himself, said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be what, church? Don't be afraid. Afraid of what? Well, Paul tells us, Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. To have gospel conversations. Keep on doing it. Keep on having conversations about me. And do not be what? Silent. Don't be quiet about it. God wanted Paul to have gospel conversations. God wants you and I to have gospel conversations. You say, okay, I know I'm supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be having gospel conversations. I know it, but I just can't do it on my own. Guess what? You're exactly right. You can't. And that's why Jesus says to Paul in the next verse, verse 10, do this. Don't be afraid. Go on speaking. Have these conversations. Don't be silent. Why? Because for I am with you. Ma'am, if you're going to have a gospel conversation today, I want you to know God is with you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Sir, back there in the back, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you'll have a gospel conversation, Jesus is with you, and he's with you, and he's with you. And those of you that are watching online, he's with you, and he's with me, because if he's with us, he'll never forsake us. You can do this because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And so today, friend, I invite you, if you need to believe, believe today. If you need to be baptized, begin that process today. Find out what you can do to schedule that. If you need to belong, please. This is a great church. I invite you to belong. Be a part of that process. The pastors can tell you how to do that. But the vast majority of us, we know we need to have gospel conversations. This is not a guilt thing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. But sometimes we self-condemn ourselves. And I just say to you, there's no reason to condemn yourself. There's no reason that you can't overcome the fear, because Jesus is with you if you'll commit to have a gospel conversation. So today, will you respond? I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. And if you today would make a decision to believe, to be baptized, to belong, or just ask God for boldness, I invite you to respond. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. That, Lord, boldness in sharing the gospel of Christ comes by trusting in the presence of Christ. And so I pray right now in Jesus' name that we would trust in you. Those that need to believe would do so. Those that need to be baptized would do so. Those that need to belong, they would do so. And Lord, that all of us would have the boldness we need to do what you have called us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. And church, if you agree with that prayer, would you say amen? Amen.